Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The guy can write, the guy can report, and HBO has turned his book Showtime into a series called Winning Time, a 10-episode series on HBO. I think the first episode has already been out. Then every week it's going to be another. I've been lucky enough to be sent 8 of them. I've watched them all. I have not had 9 and 10. But we wanted to talk to Jeff because I believe that this show is so magnificent. And I just want to know how he feels because it's from his baby. And we welcome Jeff Perlman in now. Jeff, how you doing?
I just want to say my Delaware Blue Hens made the NCAA tournament last night, so I'm in a very good mood.
Wow. I was going to ask you about that. That's pretty impressive. So congratulations. So is that a bigger thing for you than seeing your book come to life on screen?
No, not even.
How true to the book is the series at this point? Again, I've only seen 8.
It's, 50-50. There's a lot of it's TV, so it's no different than Remember the Titans or 42 or anything. They take a lot of stretches and they do a lot of things, they take a lot of liberties, which I think happens. It's not a documentary, but they're also, I will say, and I'm not just saying this, like they are very good about the book and being loyal to the book and using the book as a guide and using the character basis from the book. So I'm very happy about it.
Anything cringeworthy for you? Like anything where you really felt that maybe the liberty went too far?
I mean, the thing I keep getting asked about is, was Jerry West this volatile? And, I always say, like, Jerry West and Billy Beane, to me, are the two guys I've written about and spent some time with where they were unable to watch their teams and get enjoyment from it. Like, right. They could watch it, but their blood pressure would rise. And both those guys either had to take walks outside the stadium or drive around the stadium. So they definitely did. They gave Jerry West a lot of anxiety, and it's a little bit, it's excessive a little bit, but I just feel like it's appropriate considering the medium.
I've also read that he generally is a miserable human being, not a bad guy, but he's just not happy. Is that accurate?
It is accurate. I mean, I don't know if you guys have come across people like this. I always use West and Billy Beane, where losing is much greater of a down than the high from winning. Like, to lose is just misery. And as soon as they win, they're thinking about, oh, now I got to do this again next year. Whose contract is up? Blah, blah, blah. He's just one of those guys who really struggles to be satisfied with something joyful.
Buck Showalter once told me that he derives, he doesn't derive as much joy from winning, but losing is so bad that that's why he wants to win.
I mean, it's interesting. Like, I'm not comparing myself to these guys, but whenever you write a book, it's great when the book comes out, but the second someone points out a mistake, an error, something wrong, it's a far greater down than any of the joy you get from pub day. So I think we all probably have that in our lives in some way or another.
So, based on your experience and knowledge, which portrayal, I mean, listen, Magic seems tremendous. I've only watched the first episode because you didn't send me the DVDs. But,
just a writer.
I know. So, no, but Magic obviously seems amazing. Like, I could picture there being award nominations for that character alone. But which portrayals do you think really hit it out of the park in terms of the picture you painted with your book?
I mean, I don't want to totally double on what you said, but Quincy Isaiah as Magic Johnson is ridiculous. And first of all, he's a really nice guy, but more importantly, Quincy Isaiah was a center in football at Kalamazoo College with no IMDb page whatsoever. He'd done some college theater. He had to lose 90 pounds from being a football player just to get this role. He's so naturally charismatic and he just exudes it. And he does have this beautiful smile and this fetching personality. And my kids met him at the premiere last week. There was this premiere party that was insanely cool. And my son, who's impressed by nobody, he's 15. He said to me, that guy has something about him. And I'm like, that guy does have something about him. And the other one who gets overlooked, So Claire Rothman worked in the front office for years, both for Jack Hancock and then for Jerry Buss. And the actress Gabby Hoffman, who, as a reference point, was the little girl in Field of Dreams years and years ago, is fantastic playing Claire Rothman in this show. So it's really...
How about this? You want to hear something endearing, Michael?
What's that?
Unless I have his name... No, I don't. It's verified. Quincy Isaiah has 1,099 Twitter followers.
Yep. That'll change.
Yeah. He's the star of the show with 1,000 followers.
He gained 1,000 in like the last 2 weeks because he was at 800 very recently. Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, Jeff, a complicated figure in the book, and obviously a central figure in the book, is Jerry Buss. So Peter has seen the first episode. He said it's impossible not to like him. As the series goes on, there's things about him that you could find also reprehensible. What was your overall view on Jerry Buss?
I loved writing about him. I found him fascinating. I don't think the NBA as we know it today exists without him. And what I mean by that is when he bought the team in 79, it's really, he doesn't get enough credit for this. I really mean that. I don't even know if Jerry Buss is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He certainly should be. The NBA was a basketball league, meaning you would go to a game. I'm going to go to a Knicks game to watch the Knicks play basketball. I'm going to go to a Laker game to watch the Lakers play basketball. And he was the guy who came along and said, we're getting this all wrong. People want to come to a game to be entertained. And yeah, basketball is a part of that. But we're going to start the Laker girls. We're going to have these girls. They're not just going to cheer. They're going to dance. And they're going to dance in a sexy manner. We're going to put celebrities. We're going to give celebrities front row courtside seats so people will come to see them. We will pipe in music. We will have giveaways. We will have halftime shows. He just really saw the entertainment value of basketball and flipped the league on its head in that regard. Now, he would really struggle in today's world fairly because he enjoyed many, many women mm-hmm. and many women who are 20, 30 X continue on years younger than him. So there's that element to him, which certainly is discussed in my book and also in the show. But I mean, people are multifaceted. That's one thing you learn being a journalist.
I'm wondering with Magic, has Magic spoken to you about A, the book, and B, the show? Because he comes off fascinatingly likable, but then you can also see a portent of things to come. He couldn't control himself when it came to the opposite sex, and maybe that led to the other stuff that unfortunately happened to him medically in his life. But how does he feel about his portrayal?
I don't know. He hasn't talked to me. He hasn't talked to anyone with the show. He was asked by TMZ before the show came out whether he was looking forward to it, and he kind of brushed off the question. And there's a funny thing. Like, everyone's like, maybe Magic won't watch the show. And I'm like, Magic Johnson's watching the show. Maybe Kareem won't watch the show. There's no way in hell Magic Johnson isn't watching the show. His ego is way too big for him to be like, it's Sunday night, I'm just going to watch Friends reruns. Like, that guy's watching the show.
By the way, I feel like Kareem's watching the show too, just because he seems like a guy who's always dialed in on what's going on in the world generally. I'd be shocked if he wasn't curious. In episode one, and for anyone who hasn't seen it, you can watch it on HBO Max right now, the original party scene with Magic playing one-on-one with Norm Nixon, what's the basis of that story? How close is that?
Just being honest, didn't happen.
Okay. Appreciate you.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest about it. It didn't happen. Now, Norm Nixon and Magic Johnson definitely had a contentious relationship when Magic arrived. Norm Nixon was the incoming point guard. He was a really good point guard. He didn't want them to draft Magic Johnson. He felt threatened by Magic. That was their way, the writer's way, the writers of the show's way of sort of showing that. But I hate being asked about it because it didn't happen. And I will tell you guys, I really mean this. Like, as a journalist, this is an adjustment for me. I feel like usually we're not supposed to say this, but I really mean it. It's an adjustment for me. It is a weird thing to have a show based on a book and you're so excited and you're so psyched about it and you go on the air and you talk about it. But at the same time, there are fictional elements to the show and based on elements. And for someone who, I mean, I'm brought up in the facts, who, what, where, when, how, and why, it is an unusual feeling for me that I'm trying to adjust to.
And I didn't think about it till we had Bomani Jones on, that I guess the relationship with HBO cost you the title Showtime, right?
Yeah, I didn't care. I mean, they were like, it was the Showtime project for a long time. And I was always pushing for Showtime. I mean, you know, book sales and all that. And I understand it. The funny thing is, this is actually true. I went to DVR just to set it up to record the first episode. And the movie Showtime with Eddie Murphy and Robert De Niro was playing on HBO a couple of hours before the show premiered.
That's wild.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Now, in terms of Kareem, he comes off as pretty unhappy as well. Certainly conflicted about life. That it, you know, is he doing the right thing with his life? Just being a basketball player, is there more that he could do? Is that pretty much Kareem in real life?
Yeah, I think they nailed Kareem. Actually, that they casted him perfectly. The guy's name is Dr. Solomon Hughes. He has a PhD. He's a former center at Cal. Played for the Globetrotters, like super, super intelligent. And, you know, Kareem was a guy, I always found this interesting, when the Lakers, the Lakers would fly commercial at this point. And when they were in the airport, he would hide in the bathroom with a book. And he would literally be sitting in a bathroom stall at 7 feet tall, reading a book so no one would come up to him. And there's a scene on the set of Airplane in the first episode where a kid who co-starred in the shot with him says, Kareem, can I have your autograph? And Kareem says, F you, kid. And people have asked me if that is literally true. I don't actually know, but I can tell you he did tell a lot of kids, autograph seekers of all ages, to F off. So he's a really complicated, moody, ornery, super intelligent figure who I still consider the greatest basketball player of all time.
You know what's fun? We're talking with Jeff Pearlman, the author of Showtime, and there's a series on HBO every Sunday, Winning Time, which is outstanding. I had Kareem on center stage, Jeff, and he was he was delightful. How great he was! He was obviously trying to sell a book, but that's the only center stage that we ever extended to an hour and a half. He was so good. He was so good on everything, talking about everything, honest, friendly to people. Maybe he got different as he got older, but you could see as a basketball player, he certainly was the complete opposite of Magic Johnson. Maybe Magic Johnson brought him a little bit closer to the middle, but he didn't like the fact that Magic was having so much fun.
Wait, can I tell you my weird Kareem story real quick?
Yes.
Please. Sure.
All right, so I was working on the book Showtime, and I was trying to get Kareem. And Kareem has a notoriously bad publicist. He has a woman who handles his business, and she's just, in journalism, she's just known as kind of a train wreck to deal with. And I've been trying to get Kareem, and she'd blow me off. I go to the Basketball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies because Jamal Wilkes is being inducted, and I arranged some time with Jamal that weekend. And I'm at the thing, and Kareem's publicist texts me and she says, I have great news for you, Jeff. Let's meet. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so awesome. I'm going to get Kareem. So we meet and she goes, okay, here's the deal. How would you feel about Sports Illustrated teaming up with Kareem to do a traveling memorabilia show where we would get all of Kareem's posters and trophies and Sports Illustrated would set up like a bus and we could travel the country? And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? And I hadn't worked at Sports Illustrated in 10 years. I didn't even know what she was talking about. And Kareem has this woman, like, he is so fascinating, so interesting, so smart, a brilliant writer. He should be the Muhammad Ali of the NBA, if not the sporting world. And he has these people who just make him come off as a miserable SOB and impossible to deal with. And it freaking sucks because he's really fascinating.
Now, is it true that HBO has picked up a second season and it's going to be based on your three-ring book about Phil Jackson and Kobe and Shaq?
So basically, all right, so the book I wrote chronicles 79 to 91. So it ends, it starts with Magic's rookie year, ends with Magic and the HIV announcement. This first season of Winning Time only chronicles 79-80. They're already writing a second season that will hopefully get picked up based on the next 2 years. And then what HBO did, so in my dream world, you know, which probably won't happen, this series runs for several years on the Magic Johnson years. HBO then optioned Three Ring Circus, which is about the Shaq Kobe years, as a potential sort of carryover series if everything goes perfectly.
So this series is going to be on longer than Bonanza, pretty much.
Right.
I hope. How many seasons was Bonanza on for?
20 years.
Yeah, that might not happen.
I mean, now, how about MASH? Give you like an 11.
I'll take it.
Now, Jeff, when we, I think the last time we spoke to you was just after Kobe passed and your book came out. Mm-hmm. And you talked to us about some of the emotions you had about the book, the timing of the release, because, of course, Kobe being lost, and there's some tough truths about Kobe in your book. As time went on in that period, did you hear from a lot of people about that? What was the general reception like around the Lakers community with Three Ring Circus?
Yeah, it was really interesting. And I'm not just saying this, I swear to God, this is true. Like, I was really nervous about what would happen. I was really nervous of the blowback. There was very little. And after a while, almost everything I got was positive. Like, oh, you really captured it. You really captured the time period well. People recognized it was just me writing about him from 96 to 04. It wasn't talking about 38, 39, 40-year-old Kobe. So to my great delight and relief, it was very positive overall.
So I got to tell you, I mean, we you've been in studio with us. I wouldn't say that you're a friend of mine. I'm just like so proud. I mean, I really am. For to have a writer have this happen to one of his works, you must be over the moon. And then your wife, daughter, and son were actually in the show, right?
Wait, so yes. The greatest, first of all, that's really kind of you. The greatest, one of the great moments of my life, actually of my life, they had a premiere party last week in LA. And my wife is actually out of town for her birthday with her mother. So I took my kids, and my daughter's a college freshman at UCSD, and my son Emmett is a high school sophomore. And it was the best party I've ever been to in my life. And it was, I don't know how much it cost, but they had a cigar rolling station set up. And I do not smoke. I don't think I've ever smoked a cigar. My daughter, she's like, "Dad, are you going to smoke a cigar?" And I was like, "Sure." And we walked over and they roll a cigar, and it has the name of the show on it. And the show is based on my book. And I'm smoking a cigar, and my daughter's like, "I want to try this cigar." And she's 18 years old. I'm like, "Okay." She's smoking a cigar. And then we decided to let my 15-year-old try to smoke a cigar. And we're sitting there with Michael Chiklis, who plays Red Auerbach.
Does a great job. Yeah.
Great job. And I know it doesn't make me sound like father of the year, but there was this moment sitting there with my two kids at this party for a show based on this book I wrote. And I was just so happy. Like, I really was. It was just such a meaningful moment for me. And this has been, this is a dreamy world that never happens for me and will probably never happen again. So I'm really trying to embrace it.
So Adam McKay is the producer of this. And I read a story a while ago that this show caused the breakup between him and Will Ferrell, who's long been a producing partner with him, because Ferrell wanted to play the owner of the Lakers, Jerry Buss, and he picked John Riley. And I got to tell you, I think Riley's perfect. Now I can't picture Will Ferrell in that role. Is that a true story?
That's what I hear too. I've been told, I've had a lot of friends say to me, "So you broke up with Ferrell and Adam McKay." And I'm like, I don't think I meant to. I agree with you 100%. Will Ferrell, the problem with Will Ferrell is when you see Will Ferrell in a movie, as great as he is, you see Will Ferrell. And John C. Reilly, whether it's Chicago or Boogie Nights or this, he just melts into a character. And I think for Jerry Buss, that was really important. And it would have been cartoonish. And John C. Reilly's portrayal is anything but cartoonish. It's really impressive.
He's going to win awards. You're working on a book again. Is it on Bo Jackson now, the book you're working on?
Yeah, coming on October, Bo Jackson.
Well, please come on the show. Again, yes. We're so happy for you. This show was so great, Jeff. You should be so proud. You should be to the moon on this. This is awesome.
Congrats, man. It's awesome.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it.
You got it. That's Jeff Perlman. You could go buy the book. It's still available. Showtime, but the actual show on the book, Winning Time, is every Sunday on HBO. And I can't tell. Peter, you just got a taste of it. When you watch the other seven, it just grips you. And you know me. I have the attention span of a gnat, right? So for me to sit there and watch 8 hours of something, and I didn't want it to end. I didn't want it to end. It was so great. So can't recommend it highly enough. I can't recommend it any more than we are right now.
It's a really bold move to try this show. I can't believe what he just told us about the actor Quincy Isaiah. I can't believe that he's a kid with 1,000 followers. I mean, it's mind blowing to me with how good he is in the show, Michael, and to me how hard it is. Magic Johnson is someone who is so in all of our minds, the man that he is, that playing a role like that for me can be really tough to swallow. Because you're just going, you know, listen, Magic still looks like a young man. So you're going, you don't look like Magic Johnson. No. And yet, as you're watching it, he just becomes Magic. It is, if you are a sports fan of any level who listens to this show, you're going to enjoy the show.
All right, we'll take a brief time out. We'll give you more stuff on the MLB PA and the MLB negotiating. It looks like it's breaking down. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.